The following paid program does not represent the views of North Shore 104.9.
Welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. This morning during the program, your host, Mark Friedman, may discuss specific financial planning and investment ideas. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Financial planning and investment advice is offered through Friedman Financial, an SEC-registered investment advisor located in Peabody, Massachusetts. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, a member of FINRA and SIPC. Friedman Financial is a separate entity from LPL Financial. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. Always consult a certified financial planner professional, qualified attorney, or tax advisor prior to investing to determine what is appropriate for you.
Listeners to this radio show should consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the investment company carefully before investing. The prospectus contains this and other information about the mutual fund, variable annuity, and variable annuity subaccounts. To obtain a prospectus, you may contact Friedman Financial or your financial advisor. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making a potential investment.
And now, here's the host of Dollars and Cents, Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial.
Good morning and welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. It is Topsfield Fair weekend. It is October 4th, 5th, 6th. Today is the 6th Sunday. I'm heading over to the Topsfield Fair right after this show. We got lots of stuff going on over there. If you haven't made it over to the fair yet, there's still plenty of days ahead of you. Get on over there. It's one of the great events of New England, the great events right here on the North Shore. I hope you head over there. I know I will be there running the B'nai B'rith. I can't even say it. Running the B'nai B'rith booth located at the fair right across the street from the administration building and across from the Trianon stage. We have been there for 50 years serving Jewish fair at the Topsfield Fair. And why does that fall into the financial advice in a language you can understand category? Well, I'll tell you why. Because you won't find larger portions for a lower price at our booth. And the freshest ingredients, the very best of everything. We sell quarter-pound hot dogs, not those wimpy two-ounce hot dogs. And how about, talking of hot dogs, how about that hot dog eating contest yesterday? What a lot of fun. The number of people that showed up for that. Wow, that just blew me away. I think we broke the record from the year before. The number of hot dogs consumed was just absolutely insane. I hope you were there. I hope you enjoyed it. We'll do it again next year. It was just a lot of fun, but so much more to look forward to at the fair and so much more to listen to here on our show today. I know this past week in the markets have been a little challenging. It's about time as far as I'm concerned. Man, this trajectory of this market has been going in one direction for a very long time, and that direction has been up and positive. But folks, we can't continue to expect the market to just move in one direction. Been a little challenging as we've entered this week. Markets have been off a little bit for a variety of different reasons. Some of them are economic numbers that have come in. Some are a little skittish about what's going on. What's going on with political issues, everything that's, you never know. I mean, if it rains too many days, the market could drop. You just don't know what's going to be. But the reality is that markets don't move in one direction. They have to reset sometimes. And we just had a little taste of a little reset this week. But, you know, we were sitting around the office, and I run this firm called Friedman Financial, which is located at 41 Cross Street in Peabody, right across the street from the North Shore Mall, and just above Alto Forno Restaurant. I've been running Friedman Financial. Well, I've been there for 28 years. The firm has been there 51 years now. Dad retired in 2007. He started our firm. I took it over back then, about 12 years ago. My business partner, Marion, is now with me, celebrating her 19th year at our firm, and the two of us run Friedman Financial, where we provide financial planning and investment management advice to individuals and families living all around the North Shore, the Merrimack Valley, the greater New Hampshire area, anywhere else too. I mean, we're happy to help you. And when people come to see us, they say, you know, I've been working with somebody for a while, or I've been working with several people for a while, and my stuff is just kind of scattered all over the place. Now is the time to get serious. I really need to get my financial house in order. I really need to make sure that I'm positioned properly, because at some point, maybe sooner than later, retirement will present itself and the paycheck is not going to come in as regularly as it did, and you need to rely on other sources of income. Perhaps it's Social Security, perhaps it's pension, and perhaps it's a distribution from your investment account. Hopefully, it's a combination of many of those things so that you have the flexibility that you know where income is going to come from, because you're likely to live in retirement for as long as you have worked. That's right. Lived in retirement for as long as you've worked. You know, how many people do you know? I bet you can name somebody right now that you know that's in their 90s, right? Of course you could. Most people can. Pretty easy. You might even know somebody who's over 100 years old. But yeah, that's possible. I mean, they stopped doing it on the Today Show. They don't yell. There's no more Smucklers or Smucker's 100th anniversary, 100th birthday celebrations because there's too damn many 100-year-olds out there. They can't wish them that. Maybe if you turned 120, you'd get a little shout-out. But it's really amazing. I mean, most people work until, say, age 60, 65, something like that. So if you started working at 30, you know, you got your first real job around 30 years old and you go to 65, that's 35 years of work. At 65, 35 years takes you to 100. It's very possible you will live in retirement for as long as you've worked. That's gonna happen. You have to be prepared. And if you're not getting a paycheck sent to you on a regular basis, how will you go about supporting your income? Maybe the answer, and it is for many people these days, is that 65 doesn't feel like it's time to retire anymore. At 65 years old, people are feeling a lot healthier. They're getting around a lot more. They're more ambitious. They're traveling. They're excited to do other things. Now, maybe, just maybe at 65-ish, somewhere around there, you say to yourself, I'm kind of sick of doing what I've been doing. Maybe, just maybe, I could look at doing something else for not as many hours with less responsibility on a time frame when I wanted to work and really fall in love with it. That is what's referred to as an encore career. Maybe you've heard that term before, encore, E-N-C-O-R-E. Yeah, I guess similar to the casino that's in Everett. But it's an encore career. And no, I'm not suggesting that you do your encore career as a blackjack dealer at the Encore. But you could, you know, maybe it's your dream to be the person that wipes down the buffet table in your retirement over at the Encore. Who knows? No, I'm serious. But an encore career is an extension of something that you really, really love doing. And maybe you get a little bit of money for it. Maybe even do it for volunteer work. But yeah, this idea of an encore career was started by a guy by the name of, get this, Mark Friedman. No, not me. Not me. The guy by the name of Mark Friedman spells his name exactly like I do. M-A-R-C-F-R-E-E-D-M-A-N. In fact, if you were to Google Mark Friedman, I'm not going to be the first face that pops up. His will. He lives in San Francisco. He's a very, very well-known speaker, very thoughtful gentleman, very intelligent guy that talks about public policy and how the world for retirees has changed and will continue to change in the years to come. And he's developed this concept of encore careers. He has a book out that's called Encore. Not the casino, Encore, the Encore career. Certainly worth a look. And no, Mark does not pay me to say that. And we've met briefly in person once and have exchanged a couple emails. I sent him a copy of my book. He sent me a copy of his book. You know, just pleasantries, things like that. But it's just a great thought. I mean, that's what happens when you retire. When you approach that magical years of retirement, you say to yourself, well, it's nice. I want to travel. I want to see the kids. And then it gets tiring. You know, last week we talked about the fact that many people like to snowbird down to Florida. And one of the reasons that they head down to Florida and they buy this place or rent a place and they say, ah, it'll be great. All the grandkids and my kids will come and visit. Well, they come for a little while and then they go, ah, nah, we got too many things going on up here. We're not going to come. Or do you realize how expensive it is to fly down to come and see you? You know, because the times that the kids can get away is April school vacation and February school vacation, and the cost for the airfare is ridiculous. And you'll say, yeah, but you can stay here for free. And they'll go, yeah, but, you know, there's dance lessons and basketball and stuff we need to do around here. And, you know, I really don't have that kind of money to lay out. The kids are kind of hinting to you saying, well, maybe you'd pay. And then all of a sudden you realize, wait a second, I moved down here to Florida because I thought, you know, it wouldn't be so expensive. And now the fact that the kids, I have to fly the kids down during February and April school vacation and then take them out for dinner and entertain them at the zoo and bring them to the beach. And as much as you love doing that, all of a sudden it didn't just become a inexpensive strategy to spend part of your life down in Florida. I'm not suggesting that that doesn't work. I mean, hey, we want to spend our money on our kids, on our grandkids and really enjoy it. But understand, we can't always get what we want. And Actually, someone famous said that. I think it was Mick Jagger from the Rolling Stones. I was going to give myself credit for that statement, but then I realized, nah, I better not, because you never know. They could be listening. Anyways, we've got a lot of things to talk about today. I want to talk about how do you position your portfolio? How do you begin to think about investing in a market that is likely to, I believe, go nowhere in the next 3 to 6 months? In fact, we had a bet running around the office this past week. We just ended the third quarter of 2019, and the stock market has done extraordinarily well. And I said, do you think the fourth quarter will end the year higher, lower, or the same from where we are right now? And it was kind of interesting. There was a consensus in the office. Actually, it was more than a consensus. It was a unanimous consensus in the office. We all agreed with the same answer of the question, thinking about the end of third quarter, are our clients' accounts likely to be higher, lower, or they're about the same at the end of the fourth quarter? I'll tell you what the 100% unanimous decision was when we get back. But first, before we do that, let me remind you about our newsletter. Our newsletter comes out each and every Friday. It lands in your mailbox at 10:30. It's called Planning Pointers. All you need to do is go to my website, FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. Go to the bottom of any page, put in your name, your email address, and we will start sending you our free weekly newsletter called Planning Pointers. More than 7,500 subscribers get it each and every Friday. We've been sending it since March of 2009. People love it because it's simple to read, simple to follow, and it's financial advice in a language you can understand. When you get back, I'm going to offer up to you my staff's predictions of where this market's going to end the year. We'll be right back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
What if you could blend the classic strategies of investing with a contemporary approach to financial planning? That's what Friedman Financial can do for you. Wherever you are along your financial journey, Friedman Financial has the skills, technology, and experience to help you make smart financial decisions. Their team of certified financial planners will deliver an independent, objective, personalized plan for you. Let's make 2019 the year you get serious about your financial plan. Friedman Financial, financial advice in a language you can understand.
Are you caring for a loved one at home? Does he or she need round-the-clock care? Caregiving is hard. Caregiver Homes from SeniorLink is here to help. If your loved one is Medicaid eligible, their unique program provides live-in family caregivers with ongoing guidance and daily support. You'll receive support from their nurses and social workers and have access to their secure app, Vela, so you can always feel like help is just a text away. You would also get a tax-free daily stipend. To find out if you qualify, call Caregiver Homes from SeniorLink at 866-666-9039, online at caregiverhomes.com.
Planning for retirement and managing your investments has never been more difficult. Chances are you're trying, but worried you may make a misstep. Friedman Financial is all about getting your financial house in order and providing financial advice in a language you can understand. Their interactive software and in-person conversations will help you determine if you're on track. For more than 50 years, Friedman Financial has delivered independent advice. If now's the time to get serious about life and retirement, visit Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com.
Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Friedman Financial, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
If I had $1 million.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located on 41 Cross Street in Peabody, Massachusetts, just across the street from the North Shore Mall and just above Alto Forno Restaurant. I just actually noticed that this past week, it looks like the apartment complex behind Alto Forno is open for business and now renting. There's a big sign that says now renting. The residence is at Alto Suites. So you're looking for a location that's close to pretty much everything. Great view. If you have a chance to get up to the roof deck there, you can see, I think you can almost see the ocean from, Salem Harbor from there. Pretty cool place. So check it out if you want. Totally up to you. And absolutely swing into Alto Forno Restaurant, my favorite dish there. Everybody asks me, Mark, oh, you must go there all the time. Well, fortunately, I mean, I'd like to go there all the time, but fortunately, they're not open for lunch. So I don't go there every day, but I do go there quite often for dinner and for drinks. But I will tell you, my favorite thing on the menu that has been a standard there since they've opened is the Fig Crostini. If you haven't had the Fig Crostini, it's they make their own homemade bread. And then they roast up figs with this little balsamic, I don't know, not dressing, balsamic cream, something that they put on there, and whipped ricotta cheese. It's awesome. And my hint to you is when you order it, ask for some extra bread because they give you so much whipped ricotta and the figs and stuff that you run out of bread, so you need more bread. But enjoy that. Anyways, when I last left you, I was telling you about a debate that we had at our office. It wasn't much of a debate, really. It was more of a question that we asked of everybody with the third quarter of 2019 ending on such a high note. The question was, how do we think the fourth quarter will do from where we start October 1st through the end of December? Now, you got to understand, I asked this question on September 30th. So it was, so we don't know what had happened already for the week. But the general consensus was, I asked the question, do you think the market will end up higher? Will it be lower? Or will we just kind of hang out where we are right now? Not only was it the general consensus, it was the unanimous consensus that we will end up lower. And I would absolutely agree with that, too. You know, everything has to settle back to the norm, folks. Come on, we've had a great year. And just because the fourth quarter might be lousy, and one person in my office was suggesting, well, think about how fourth quarter of 2018 was. And remember, we almost dropped 20% in 2018, at least the S&P 500 did. I don't know whether it's going to be that bad. I don't know whether it's going to be down 5. I don't know whether we could be up. I mean, who knows? What I do know is that regardless of what I think or what we believe the market will produce or our investment portfolio will produce in the next 3 months should not be an indicator as to whether we get in, get out, make changes, do something. Because if you're thinking of making changes with the prospect of what could happen in the next 3 months, you're not an investor, you're a speculator. And you have to remind yourself of that. People that invest, invest for the long term. They know there's going to be ups, they know there's going to be downs. Trying to guess where the downturn is or trying to figure out the best point to get out is not the strategy to use when investing. And I'm just telling you, I think fourth quarter is going to be lousy for a lot of reasons. But I mean, you could say there are economic reasons, there's political reasons, there could be climate reasons, there could be any type of reason. And that's discounting the fact that, God forbid, we have some type of a cyber attack or some type of a terrorist attack. That even adds further complexity to it. But I just think everyone's made their money for the year, and it's time to just take some chips off the table. From a corporate standpoint, I'm not talking about from an investor standpoint. I'm not telling you to take chips off the table. Please don't. In fact, my advice to you would be, if you had been thinking of investing and you are on the sidelines, now's the time to do it, folks. Don't wait for, oh, I think it's going to go a little lower next week or a little lower the week after. Just do it. Just get in and not worry about it. Because it's funny, I ask people a lot of times when they've worked with our office, and you know, look, I've been doing this 28 years, and so I have clients that go back that far and even further than that because my dad started in 1968. Many people get into the business of investing when they work with a financial planner. After they do a financial plan, they start to set up some type of an investment strategy. And they're oftentimes faced with the question, do we want to invest all of our money now, or do we want to use that term dollar cost average? We want to put money in intervals over, let's say, the next 6 or 8 months. And we sit there and have that debate of, well, what would be better? Should we do it now? Should we do it over time? And the answer is, the decision that you're making at that moment is a decision that plays into the emotions that you're feeling today. What is your outlook on what the market looks like? What is, you know, how was your day? Did you wake up feeling pretty good when you rolled out of bed that day? Did the kids really annoy you that day? It could be a lot of different reasons. But fast forward now 5 years. Fast forward 5 years, and if I were to ask you, do you remember whether we dollar cost averaged or just invested all at once? You will have totally forgotten what happened then. And you think about the agonizing question that we asked and we played around. Well, what if? it goes away. Let's be long-term investors. Let's not worry about whether now is the right time to invest, next week, next month, a year from now. If you have money to invest and you want to invest it for the long term, just invest the money. If you want to feel a little bit better right now just to kind of ease your way into the market, go ahead, sprinkle some money in over the next few months. That's fine. But then once you've done that, you have to realize you can't start counting performance of your portfolio until you're fully invested. Now, that might sound strange to you, but let me run this scenario by you. I want you to imagine that you invested $100,000, and at the end of the year, it was worth $110,000. You might say to yourself, wow, I just made 10%. We can do that math, right? It went from 100 to 110, and it's worth $10,000 more, so I made 10%. Now, I want you to think about this. What if you had $100,000, and for the next 7 months, you added $1,000? So you added $1,000 at end of January, $1,000 at the end of February for 7 months. So in total, you've put in $107,000. And at the end of the year, your account value is worth $110,000. Did you still make 10%? No, you didn't. But many people think that. You see, one of the biggest fears that I worry about is that if we move into a period of time when the market is going down and you have an investment strategy that's already in place, you have your investments going and you just say, this money is here for the long term. I'm not adding any money. I'm not taking any money. I'm just running it. So it's $100,000 at the end of the year. The market's down a little bit. And let's say that value at the end of the year is $95,000. You go, oh my God, I lost 5%. Some people will say not 5%. I lost $5,000. That's what's going to really jump out. And then you say, but wait a second. My 401k is doing so much better. My 401k is doing awesome. I add, because they'll say, I started with $100,000, and at the end of the year, my 401k is worth $105,000. Mark, your investment strategy doesn't work. My 401k is so much better. Well, then I have to re-educate a little bit. I'll ask you, did you happen to add any money to your 401k over the course of the year? Well, yeah, I added $5,000 to my 401k over the course of the year. Did your company match your 401k over the year? Yeah, they put in $5,000 too. So they put in $10,000. So let me be sure I understand this correctly. You started with $100,000. You and your employer added $10,000, but your account value is worth $105,000. Tell me how you made money. You didn't. You lost money just like everybody else did. But you have to put it in perspective. And when markets go down, the greatest competitor I have in my business is the 401k. Because people forget that they've been adding money to their 401k, that the employer matches money into the 401k. Despite the fact that the value of the 401k has also gone down, it's kind of masked. The performance of it is masked because you've been adding money to your 401k. Now, I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I strongly encourage you to participate in your 401k. I want you to. It's important that you do it. And in fact, I believe that the best time to be investing is when the markets are going down, not when markets are going up. And why is that? Let me ask you something. If you were to hear that lobsters were on sale at Market Basket this week for $3.99 a pound, would you run out and buy more lobsters than if you heard that lobsters were now selling for $8.99 a pound? Of course you would. Why would you do that? Because they're on sale. Well, the market goes on sale. And I actually believe this week and probably this next quarter, the stock market will be on sale. Yet most people will be scared of this sale. And this is not a going out of business sale. The market is coming back. This is not Almy's. This is not Bradley's. This is not, you know, some of these other, Leachmere or whatever. These are not going out of business sales. These are, we are having a sale. And you could almost call it a seasonal sale, because markets do have seasonal sales where they drop in value. We haven't had a good seasonal sale in about a year. But this is a seasonal sale we're enduring right now, and one that will likely continue, I believe, through the end of the year. So if now is the time for you to begin thinking about saying, I've been meaning to put money to work, get it to work. Because when you can buy things cheaper, you buy more shares. And that's the secret to successful investing, is accumulating shares, not worrying about the stock price on a day-to-day basis. So there was a report that came out from CNBC this past week. In fact, I included it in my newsletter that's called Planning Pointers. It comes out each and every Friday at 10:30 in the morning. We've been doing it since March of 2009. Over 600 issues of this newsletter have landed in your mailbox for those that started back 10, 11 years ago or so. If you'd like to get this newsletter, go to my website, friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. Go to the bottom of any page. You can put in your name, your email address, and you can sign up for the newsletter. It's really that simple. And I promise you, I will not call you. I will not bug you and say, oh, hey, I saw you signed up for a newsletter. You want to come in for an appointment? No, this is not a dating site or anything like that. No, I'm not going to be doing that. Sign up for my newsletter, enjoy the financial advice in a language you can understand, and if the time is right, when it's right, and you say, you know, now's the time for us to get serious about our financial planning. Perhaps we've had relationships with a variety of different investment professionals, and perhaps those investment professionals aren't ones that I would say, I want to expose my entire financial situation to them. When you're ready to expose your entire financial situation to one person, to a certified financial planner, that's when we do our best work. And that's where we find success for our clients. If that's the time and the space that you're in right now, give us a call, 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. No one's in the office today. You can leave a message. We'll get back to you. Or call us during regular business hours. Jody will answer the phone. She'll get to understand you a little bit, and we'll schedule a free initial consultation in our office. But if you sign up for the newsletter, trust me, I'm not calling you. This is not a big prospecting thing where we're calling everybody that signs up for the newsletter to see if we can get you in for an appointment. We are a mature firm. I want to give financial advice in a language you can understand to anybody and everybody of all means, all abilities, all socioeconomic backgrounds. I want to provide it to you through our newsletter and also through this radio show, through Dollars and Cents. If you feel like you're the right client that would match up with us, then we'd like to talk with you, but you initiate that, not me. So this story came out. It was called Five Things Novice Investors Should Stop Doing. Novice investors. Now, anybody can be considered, there's a lot of people who would consider themselves novice investors. Many people in their 50s and 60s would still consider themselves novice investors. So here's a few things that I thought were rather interesting. It's also interesting because it talks to the 20 and 30 year olds, those that are beginning to get their first 401k, they're starting to make a decent paycheck, and they have an ability to save some money. One of the first things that I think novice investors should stop doing is researching stocks. Stop it. Absolutely stop it. You'll hear on CNBC or on Bloomberg or on whatever financial radio station, publication, website, social media place you go to, everyone's going to talk about the next IPO, the initial public offering, a stock that's going to go live on the board. Everyone's going to make money. You'll hear about these startups that have all this potential and their stock is going to go live. Or you're going to hear about a news story or some new product or some new innovation that's come out of this company. And you're going to start researching and you'll read about it, and you'll hear all these different comments from all these analysts, and you'll say, all right, I've done my research. I'm ready to buy. I'm ready to get in. And you start to think, okay, now I got to make the buy. So what's easy, though, is that you can now buy individual stocks on a multitude of website platforms. You can do it on your own. Sometimes you can do it without even a commission. Just go on and buy the stock. And that's nice. And then what happens? Lunch. All of a sudden, you're distracted. I have to have lunch. And the stock that you spent all this time researching that you bought, you've kind of forgotten about. And then 3 days later, you see on a news report that the stock just went down because their numbers didn't come out as well as expected, and the stock dropped 10%. And now you're freaking out. And now you're worried and you go, oh my God, did I make a mistake? I should get out of this stock. Because your research was so good that you had researched for a long-term investment, but 3 or 4 days later, all of a sudden news comes out and your research gets thrown out the window. That is not the way to invest. That is not the way to participate in the stock market. There are better ways, and we'll share with you other ways to do this. Well, that's what I call financial advice in a language you can understand. We'll start sharing that and a lot more information when we get back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Just got paid.
This month, consider setting yourself apart from the ordinary at Gibley's Menswear in Danvers.
And there's no better way to set yourself apart than in a custom suit made just for you.
You choose the fabric, style, liner, and buttons. Their trusted tailors guide you through the entire process. And the best part of all is your custom suit is made in as little as 8 days.
And new Canada Goose jackets for him and her have arrived just in time for those chilly fall evenings.
Gibley's Menswear. Come in once, you'll be a customer for life.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. It is October 6th, Sunday, October 6th, day three of the Topsfield Fair. I'm not coming to you live from the Topsfield Fair, but I'm going there right after I finish this broadcast because I run the B'nai B'rith booth at the Topsfield Fair, one of the oldest and most popular booths at the fair. We've been there almost 51 years serving Jewish fare at the Topsfield Fair. Largest portions, lowest prices. This week, I'm going to have the opportunity to meet with a class, actually, from Salem, Massachusetts, who's coming on a Thursday to learn. They go on these field trips. There's a lot of kids. Maybe your kids are going to the fair this week to do some of the educational programming that's available. I was asked this year to participate in an educational program for one of the schools that's coming to talk about food preparation, food services. And, you know, since we run a restaurant, or I guess you could call it a restaurant or a food stand at the fair, I could do that. And I got a little bit of background when it comes to money. So they thought this would tie in pretty well. And I thought what we would do is do something that's called financial advice in a language you can understand for the fair. And so let me tell you about something that I'm planning to do on Thursday. And if your kid is one of them that's coming to my booth on Thursday, don't tell them this, but I'm going to go with most people listening won't have kids that'll be attending this. So one of the things that the teacher has asked me that she wants the kids to learn is, how we decide on food prices. How do you decide on what to charge? And it's a fair question. These kids, I think they're going to be juniors and seniors. She wanted to also talk about ServSafe, how we have to be get licensed. Was that a really word? How we have to get licensed and prepare ourselves so that we can run a booth safe for those that are ordering food from us. But how do we manage food? How do we price it? How do we do this? So one of the things that our booth has become famous for 51 years is our Hebrew National Quarter Pound Hot Dogs. That's what we've been selling for 51 years, and it is the most popular item at our booth. We sell close to 3,000. There's a lot. So 3,000, think about that. That is a lot of hot dogs. It's about 750 pounds of hot dogs that walk out of our booth. So just so you know, a traditional hot dog that you buy, whether it's a Fenway Frank, a KM hot dog, whatever it is, in any of the supermarkets, a traditional hot dog weighs 2 ounces. A lot of it has water in it. A lot of it has filler that's in it. Our hot dogs have 4 ounce hot dogs, and they are 100% beef. All beef hot dogs. So when you think about going to the fair, what would you pay for a hot dog at the fair? What do you think you'd pay? So, you know, they can be anywhere, because you know that if, you go to Fenway Park or you go to fairs or whatever, they're going to up their prices. They're going to build them up. So last year, for the first time in almost 12 years, we raised our price on our quarter pound hot dog from $3.50 to $4. Okay? That same hot dog at Fenway Park goes for about $8, by the way. So we sell it for $4. No wonder people come to our booth. Because my experience that I'm going to have with the kids is I'm going to show them how we figure out what the cost is for one hot dog. And we'll show the math. I'll show how it all works for these kids. And they're going to see that the actual cost of one quarter pound hot dog with the bun, with whatever condiments, and I'll actually won't even include the cost of the condiments. We'll just throw those at throw-ins. But the cost of the bun and the hot dog is about $1.25. That's what the cost is. And we sell it for $4. So they can do the math and figure out what the profit is on every hot dog we sell. And then what I'm going to have them do is I'm going to ask them to spend the rest of their day as they go around the fair and look at all the other booths that might be selling hot dogs. And take a look to see what kind of hot dogs they're selling, how big are they, and what are they charging for the hot dogs. And I think they will be blown away when they see how much people will charge for such a small hot dog, and it won't even be all beef. And they're going to learn the difference between profit margins and value, and that's really what I'm hoping to do with them. That's what we're calling financial advice in a language you can understand at the fair. And that's a group that I'm meeting with on Thursday. And I mean, it goes to play into some of the work that I do in the schools. And if you're listening to the show and you'd like for me to come to your classroom, or you know of a high school where you'd like to have the kids learn a little bit about real life financial stuff. No, we're not going to get into whether they should own stocks or bonds or what mutual funds are or what an IRA is or anything like that. We're going to talk about real life financial stuff. One of the things I love doing when I go to North Andover High School and I speak in one of the classrooms there, I bring three Dasani water bottles. You know what the Dasani water bottles look like, right? So I bring three of them and I line them up right in front of the kids. And I said, well, we're going to have to talk. I said, these three water bottles have exactly the same amount of water in them. Packaging is the same. The weight of them is all the same. But this first water bottle here costs 13 cents. The second water bottle here costs $1.49. And the third water bottle over here costs $4.50. Who can tell me why? And it becomes a very interesting conversation where the kids start to realize that what they're really paying for in society is convenience. That is what we have become. When's the last time you made coffee for yourself? When's the last time you decided to make a sandwich for yourself, but instead decided to just go to Subway or someplace for lunch? Or you went to Starbucks or Dunkin' Donuts for coffee? When's the last time... Well, you can do the when's the last time, dot, 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 forever, right? We've become a society of convenience. Now, not only do we not want to get takeout from the local pizza joint or the Chinese restaurant, we want to have it delivered to us. And we're willing to pay. Remember, delivery used to be free. Remember when you used to just, you know, pizza would be delivered for free? Everything was free, right? Now, we don't think twice about paying for a delivery fee. It's amazing how we have just built the cost of convenience into everything we do. And getting our kids to understand that is financial advice in a language they can understand, because the biggest aha moment I get with the kids, besides the water bottle, and that's usually a pretty interesting one, is I ask them, how many of you have a debit card? And pretty much every kid in the room has a debit card or an ATM card. I said, how many of you go to the ATM to get money? Every hand goes up. And I said, so what does it cost to take money out of the ATM? One kid will say, a couple dollars, $3, $5. And that's the general consensus. There'll always be one or two kids in the group that'll say it doesn't cost anything. And I'll ask them, why are you saying it doesn't cost anything? And they said, because if I use my bank, it doesn't cost anything to take money out. And the kids in the room gang up on the kid that wasn't paying anything and say, well, how often do you get to go to your bank? I mean, if you need money at the local pizza shop or at the movie theater or whatever, you just take money from the ATM machine. That's $3, $4, $5. Oh, and by the way, then I ask the question to the kids, how much money do you usually take out of the ATM? $20. So let me get this straight. You're going to grab $20 from a machine and pay $5 for the privilege of having $20. So you're going to pay $25 for $20. I would take that deal all day long if I was a bank. And as many people, whether you're a politician, whether you're a parent, whatever it is, if you're yelling and screaming at the bank for charging fees, all I have to say to you is stop paying the fees, because you don't have to if you take some responsibility for your own personal finance. This is America. if a company can take advantage of your incompetence and stupidity, yes, I know those are strong words, good for them. That's my attitude. They have no responsibility to make sure that you are being prudent with your money. That's your job. And you can. And they make it very easy, and the opportunity is always there. You know what it requires, though? It requires us to do a little planning, a little preparation. And that's one of the things that we as a society have become really, really bad at. Have you found yourself showing up later and later to places when you're supposed to be somewhere? Have you found yourself not being fully present when you're asked to talk about an issue? Have you found yourself going to the grocery store just absolutely blind as to why you went there in the first place and finding yourself buying more and more food simply because the packaging looked great? We are less and less prepared. We plan less and less, and it's costing us a fortune. But that's not the problem with America. That's not the problem with corporations. That's our problem. It's a people problem. It's a people problem. And we need to begin to plan better. And we as parents need to educate our children better. We need to give them the skills so that they can make informed decisions. Because you know what? As much as we look at some of the things that our kids want to buy a $150 pair of sneakers, or want you to buy them a $150 pair of sneakers. And you go, what the heck do you need that for? They could come around and they could turn right around to you and say, what do you need that fancy purse for that has some name to it? Or what do you need, all that coffee for? I mean, we've created a system in our society that is somewhat irresponsible, I believe. Because when you look at other places around the world, you go to Europe, people will go out to eat to celebrate. I remember when I was a kid, when we were going out to eat, it was for a celebration. Let's go out to celebrate your birthday. When it's my kid's birthday, it's almost more of a celebration that we made dinner at home because we got to eat so much. Look, I'm part of the problem. We all are part of the problem. But when we're complaining about how little money we have in our pocketbook or the fact that everything is so expensive, the problem is not the vendor. The problem is not the restaurant or the department store or the website or the bank or anybody else. The problem is us. And until we're willing to hold ourselves responsible for that, we are the problem. We need to plan better. We need to take more responsibility for what we do. And here's one of the things that's really becoming painful. It's become part of this gig economy that exists. In this idea of tipping. Gosh, I understand tipping in a restaurant. Your waiter or waitress, your server, I'll use the proper term there, gets paid $2 an hour because their income is based upon the gratuity that is added to the bill for the service that they provide. But when you walk up to the counter at Fenway Park, and you go to pay a ridiculous price for your hot dog and beer, and you say, I'm going to pay with my debit card or my credit card, and they slide it through one of those computer-operated iPads. And then the window comes up that says, tip, 0, 10, 15, 20%. Do you think you should tip on that? What the hell did the guy do? He's not getting paid $2 an hour. He's getting paid minimum wage or better because they're at Fenway Park. He turned around, picked up a hot dog, and dropped it in front of you. Is that worth paying a 20% premium on top of the ridiculous price that already exists? Tipping has gotten out of hand, in my opinion. The fact that the people at Dunkin' Donuts have a jar out in front so you can dump your change into it is absolutely... I had a situation. I'll tell you about this situation. I went to Dunkin' Donuts once. I got coffee and, I don't know, whatever it was. Let's say the bill came to $5.83. I handed the woman $6. She hands me my product and takes the change and just drops it in the jar. Didn't even think I'd want it. That's what we've become. We got to change that. I think we have to change that. Now, if you're working as the person on the other side of the counter, you might think, Mark, shut up. You're taking income away from me. But if you're foolish enough to drop tips into the jar, you're part of the problem. That's the way I look at it. Tipping for a restaurant is one thing. Tipping for services that are provided to you, to a masseuse, to the person that is the doorman at the place where you live, tipping a bellman, tipping, there's places where you tip, your hairdresser, whatever it is. But dropping a tip at Subway because someone made you a sub, that's what you went in there for. It's a little bit ridiculous. So this new guide to tipping in the gig economy is a story that came out of Bloomberg this past week. I want to talk a little bit more about that. I want to talk about this market because, hey, I don't see a great outlook for the rest of this quarter. I see a great outlook for the next 5 years, but this next quarter is going to be tough. Should you be doing anything? Should you be preparing your portfolio differently? Should you be getting out? I'll tell you that. I'll tell you what I think, what my staff thinks, and what all the economists I've been talking with over the past few weeks are talking about as well. We'll do that when we get back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
North Shore Music Theater is proud to present Andrew Lloyd Webber's masterpiece, Sunset Boulevard.
I'm ready for my close-up.
Starring Tony Award winner Alice Ripley. Miss this haunting tale of the once famous movie star Norma Desmond as she attempts a bold return to the silver screen.
It's the pictures that got small.
Though her fame has faded, her ambition has not.
Everything's as if we never said goodbye.
Step into Norma's extravagant Hollywood fantasy as she attempts to seize the opportunity to restore her career to its former glory. Don't miss Sunset Boulevard, now through October 6th. At Bill Haney's North Shore Music Theater. For tickets, visit nsmt.org. Sponsored by Iron Tree Service.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, right across the street from the North Shore Mall and just above Alto Forno Restaurant at 41 Cross Street. Hope you're all doing well. Perhaps you're packing up your car and heading over to Topsfield. It's Topsfield Fair Day today, and we'll continue through the 14th of October. Lots of great things in store. We're always talking about local events that happen here on the North Shore. We are talking usually financial advice in a language you can understand, but periodically we sprinkle in a few of the local stuff that's going on. I will tell you, you want to get a bargain this week? If you're going to the fair, best bargain at the fair. There's this booth. It's called the B'nai B'rith Booth. Lowest prices, largest portions at the fair. Let me tell you about a sandwich that they have over there. And I'll be very upfront. I run the booth. I do. Been running that booth for about 8 or 9 years with my wife, Laura. I've been working at the B'nai B'rith Booth since I was 13 years old. All the profits from the booth get returned to the Jewish community. It is 100% volunteer run. All of our volunteers proportionately allocate their share from the time that they've worked to the local Jewish charities of their choice. So it does get returned right to the community. No one's getting paid to work there. And that's where we can keep our prices as low as we do and why it has become one of the most popular booths at the fair. I got to tell you about this sandwich that we started about 2 years ago. It is called the Oy Vey Sandwich. In fact, Scott Whitley last week invited me onto his show, Wicked Bites, to talk about the Oy Vey sandwich. It got picked up at a few places. A few people were talking about it. It amazes me how many of these sandwiches. We've sold over 500 of these sandwiches in just 2 years. This was just an idea that we created. We wanted to have something big, something that really jumped out. And so the Oy Vey sandwich is a bulky roll. You know what a bulky roll is? So you cut the bulky roll open. On the bottom of the bulky roll, you get a bunch of brisket. Now, this brisket is my mother's recipe that goes back years, generations before. It's the recipe, the Jewish brisket that we've been serving at my house since I was a kid. My grandparents made this brisket. So that goes on the bottom. On top of that is Pearl Brand spiced hot pastrami right on top of that. On top of that, we have fresh potato pancakes put right on top of the pastrami. Then, to mix it all together, we take a nice big scoop of beef chili, beef and bean chili, I should say, and pour that right over the top. Put the top of the bulky bun back on top, nice big skewer of a toothpick goes through it all to hold it all together, and on the side you get a half sour pickle. That's what you get. It is an enormous sandwich. What would you pay for that at the fair? You know, giant sandwiches go for outrageous prices. It's the most expensive item we have at our booth, and it goes for $10. People happily step up and buy this sandwich. And so what happens is, so you walk up to the window and you go, hey, I'd like to get an Oyvay sandwich. So the person on the other side of the window turns around and they go, one Oyvay sandwich. And the whole place stops doing what they're doing. And the whole place screams, Oyvay! Yep, that's what happens. And so we start making the Oyvay sandwich. Oyvay sandwich gets put together. It's a whole production to make this sandwich. Goes back out the window. Someone yells, Oyvay sandwich going out. And everyone yells, Oyvay again. And usually we get a nice chuckle from the person on the other side of the window because they weren't expecting a show to go along with the sandwich. And then we have this thing, because it's the Jewish holidays lately, this thing called a shofar. A shofar is a Jewish term for a ram's horn. And this is a horn that is the ram's horn is blown every year during the Jewish holiday. And so we have a ram's horn in the booth. And so when the Oyvay sandwich goes out the window, someone blows the shofar and we have the noise that goes out from that, and it becomes a nice show. So if you happen to be at the booth, if you happen to be at the fair today, or frankly any day during the week, with the exception of Wednesday, Laura and I won't be there because it's the Jewish holiday of Yom Kippur. But if you're there any other day this week, stop in, introduce yourself, say you're a listener to the show, and I have a special treat, a free treat for you. So please swing by. I'd love to meet all the people that listen to the show. It's your chance to tell me what you really think of the show, or say hi to everybody. Try our food. We'd love to see you at the fair. Anyway, during the last segment, we were talking a little bit about tipping and some of my thoughts around how we've become a society of living in convenience, not inconvenience, living in a world of convenience. We pay for everything. We pay extra for everything. Isn't it amazing that whatever the price is that's posted at most places is not the ultimate price that you're going to walk out paying? Now, of course, we know in many cases, the tax thing always adds up. I remember going, I was in Arizona, and we had rented a suite in one of the hotels for an event, and I was splitting the cost with a friend of mine who was from Sweden who was visiting. And we had been told what the cost of the room was for the day. And we go to pay the bill at the end, and it's far more from the cost she had expected it to pay. And she says, Mark, did you know about these taxes and things? And so I guess what happens in Europe, when they quote you a price, that price is tax inclusive. It's not the price plus, 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 plus that we've come to expect. And so many Europeans get very caught off guard when they see a price that's higher. No wonder they don't tip very well, because they just assume it's already built in, just like everything else in their society is built in. But here, I find it fascinating that when you go, let's say you go to your local restaurant and you go and you say, you know what, I want to get a takeout order. And so you've called up the place, you go to pick up the takeout order, whether it's for Chinese food, whether it's your local Italian restaurant or an area steakhouse. You go to pick up your food and you generally pay with a credit card now. The credit card comes out, they swipe the credit card or they use it on the iPad. And before you sign for it, it says tip. Tip. What are you tipping for? Yet, you almost feel guilted into it. Because the person there is holding out the thing and it says, well, would you like to tip? Which one would you hear? 0%? Cheap bastard. 5%? 10%? Or 20%? And some are going 25% now. Or custom. Custom, you can pick your own as well. I think it's unfortunate that we are living in a society right now where people that are just working the window have created a guilt me into this society. You are not expected to tip for takeout service. You should tip for delivery. Someone delivered a service. You tip for waiter service or server service. I don't know what's the proper term these days, but you should tip for that. You tip for, you can tip for certain things, whether it's someone is cutting your hair. But should you tip when it's the owner of the company cutting your hair? Let me ask you that. What do you think? What if you were a DJ company, and you were the owner of the company, and you've negotiated a fair price within your contract? Do you tip the DJ over and above? Well, what if the person was the owner? Would it be different if the person worked for the owner? Would you tip that person differently? Maybe. Everything, we all have to ask ourselves, are we supposed to tip this person? You know, you pay $99 at Jordan's to get your mattress delivered, right? That's the delivery fee. And you turn to yourself, you go, am I supposed to tip this guy? Are you supposed to tip him? They're not going to say no to your money, but you just paid a premium. You paid a service for this person to deliver your furniture. The delivery guy is not working for tips. Now, if you ask the delivery person while he's there to say, hey, would you mind getting rid of this mattress for me? Or could you tighten up the screws on the other bedroom set that I have in my other room? Now there's another reason why you tip somebody. They provided a service. But if the service was already paid for, should you be paying for it? There's a huge debate on this right now. Where do you draw the line on tipping? Some people refer to it as the intrusive iPad. The intrusive iPad is where, you know, you're using that square or the iPad where it pops up and asks you what the tip amount you'd like to add when you wonder, should I? How about Airbnb? Airbnb. So you've rented a room in somebody's house. You've paid for the services of the house. Are you supposed to leave a tip on the dresser? Are you? I don't know. I mean, I know it's customary to leave a tip on the dresser at a hotel for the maid service, but you're using somebody's house. They gave you a price. This is what they want to rent the place for. Do you tip your landlord? When you're paying rent, you go, oh, don't worry about the rent. I'm going to add 10% or 20% for the great service. No, that's not how it works. You don't tip the electric company, do you? No. Why have we settled into this convenience and tipping society? We wonder why. Oh, my God, I can't figure out where all the money goes. Well, it's because most of your money's going away in stupid tips for things. You don't need to do that. We can be a little bit more responsible. If we took responsibility for our own actions, if we took responsibility for planning properly, for getting our financial house in order, rather than hoping that it'll all fall together, we would be better as a society. I can't tell you how many people we see or we meet who are spending their money. They don't understand where the money's going, but they're still not all that worried. Because believe it or not, they go, well, it'll all work out. Why will it all work out? They don't want to say it until I call it. I said, are you expecting an inheritance from your parents? Oh, no, we wouldn't do that. I said, well, tell me a little bit about your parents' financial situation. And when they know what their parents' financial situation is and they know how bad theirs is, you know they're planning for an inheritance. When they don't know the parents' financial situation, it's a different story. But I can't tell you the number of people that we have met that are spending like no tomorrow because they expect that their parents will step up, help them out, because the parents' house has grown in value. The parents are living off solely their income in retirement. And I will tell you, as a financial planner, as a certified financial planner, if you are that retiree, I want you to be able to find the balance that works for you so that you can maximize your life in retirement. You can do everything that you want to do. And if it is your objective, if it is your goal to leave something to the kids, to pass something on, that you have a pretty good sense of what that might look like. I can't tell you how many retirees are so surprised to learn how much they'll be passing on to that next generation. Unknowing. They had no idea what they were going to pass on. And they said, well, maybe we need to give money now. Like I say, give with warm hands rather than cold ones. Do it. Enjoy your retirement. Live life to its fullest. If you've got time today, swing over to the Topsfield Fair. Say hello anytime this week. But I got to get out of here. I got to go make some hot dogs. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Thanks for tuning into Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. During the show, specific investments may have been discussed. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Please consult a certified financial planner, tax professional, or attorney to determine what is appropriate for you. Consider your investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of an investment company before investing. That's because investing involves risk, including a loss of principal. A prospectus contains this and other information about
mutual funds, variable annuities, and variable annuity sub-accounts. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making an investment. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment and financial planning advice is offered through Mark's firm, Friedman Financial, which is a registered investment advisor and a separate entity from LPL. Thanks again for tuning in. See you next Sunday at 8 a.m.
Our show was a paid program that does not express the views, opinions, or beliefs of North Shore 104.9, the station management, its employees, or staff.